How long gone? Jason, I've been thinking about maybe it's time for us to rename the show. I was inspired last night.
Okay, is this Grammy related, Curb Your Enthusiasm related? What could
Well, how does this sound to you? The Tortured Poets Department podcast. Does that kind of roll off the tongue?
Tortured Poets Podcast Department? Is that what you just said?
Well, we could flip it like that, but I was kind of intending for it to be the Tortured Poets Department podcast. Like, we're a department of tortured poets.
Okay. It's funny because there's probably 11 podcasts with that name already on Spotify right now in the last 5 hours.
Well, I saw that. So Dances on Twitter was like, do you think Taylor Swift watched Dead Poets Society and then flipped it into this name for her new album that she announced last night at the Grammys? And I have to assume that she finally did see Dead Poets Society and decided to integrate it into creative expression. Do you agree?
I like the way that you integrate it into your creative expression is how I'm going to phrase it the next time I rip off a logo and make a podcast hat out of it.
That's a free one, bro. What's mine is yours. You know that.
Mm-hmm. I've been thinking about different ways to integrate this expression by sort of integrating other people's money through a service called Shopify into my Wells Fargo checking.
Yeah, exactly. It's easy.
I did not watch the Grammys. I am the Grammys. So how was it? Fill me in.
I didn't watch either. I was dead asleep. I watched. I obviously looked at the list, and Boy Genius won every award, and they wore Tom Brown, and they had. I have to give them credit. The Tom Brown suits I quite like. They were all white, but they wore a pink flower as a tribute to Elliott Smith's Grammy outfit, which I have to say I like, obviously.
Yeah, they scored points for that, but how did we know that it was referencing Elliott Smith?
Good point. I don't.
Did they say it?
I'm sure they did confirm it to one of the esteemed music.
Did the Consequence of Sound break that scoop?
The last music blog alive got that scoop from them. But no, it wasn't. I think it was pretty uneventful.
Well, big congrats to the three by mice.
I mean, it really is a big day for. It's a big day for visibility. It's a big day for all the women that are gay and have boyfriends. It's big, and I think that
I know a lot of gay women who have boyfriends.
I think representation matters, especially in 2024. I will say something interesting was Tracy Chapman did her song, you know, Fast Car,
because
it's been covered by this guy Luke Bryan, this country star. And
yes, and when you said that's interesting, what do you mean by that?
Because people got so enraged, like, over this guy covering her song because they don't understand that she gets all the money from the song, no matter how, like, he basically made Tracy Chapman millions of dollars by covering this song. So it's a
Tracy's
gift,
like,
to her.
We're cool.
Yeah, we cool. I love this white boy. He's cool.
Look, Luke, what a guy. So people were. I mean, I don't think that was the only reason why people would be upset about it.
No, I don't know. That wasn't the reason.
There has to be other. No, that implications going
that
on.
That wasn't the reason people were upset about it. But what I'm saying is that's what people failed to realize when they were getting upset about it. That this is actually him, mm-hmm. him doing, I mean, not a favor, that's the wrong word, but it's something that benefits her greatly. You know, it benefits her more than it benefits him, arguably, financially.
She is going to make the lion's share of the publishing on there. But is this, you know, to me, the publishing is sort of, it's giving reparations.
I mean, either way, that's still good for her.
That's a touch. It is good.
Either way, she's getting money in her pocket.
It would be better if the offense never occurred.
Yes.
But then you could argue whether or not this is an offense, obviously. But I think some people might have an issue with the fact that it's, you know, like some hillbilly looking country white boy is covering this legendary singer's song. Obviously she's gonna get a check, but
see, I don't think that's what I'm trying to say to you. I don't think that is obvious to people. I think people are dumb and they would rather be offended than understand that this is actually a W for her. And this song, and Dean said this on Twitter, and he's right, this song is 35 years old, and it was the most, like, they would cut to the crowd and everyone was loving it. Everyone knew the words, everyone was standing up, singing, clapping. is it a bad sign?
And that was because Luke.
No,
because
no.
Luke, not because of Tracy. I mean, depending on the crowd, like some people, you know, like young blood did not learn about this song from Tracy Chapman or.
Well, no, that's not the point. I think the point is more that getting the biggest response means that music is in a rough place right now.
Oh,
when a 35-year-old song gets everyone amped up, and you know the Dua Lipa performance doesn't. It's interesting because it's also a woman with an acoustic guitar and a fat guy just belting it is better than anything else that happened all night. It's a testament to real music. I will say that.
Yeah, and I guess a lot of parallel lines in film and television, where the only TV shows and movies we watch are just, you know, rehashed stuff from 35 years ago.
That's true. Suits LA coming soon. Can't wait for that one.
Suits LA is coming soon. My wife is very stoked to check out Dune 2, a story from 70 years ago.
Who wants this? That shit looks so bad. Like I don't even know what it's about. I can't even begin to be interested in that and like looking it up to see what the plot is.
I know. I mean, you're famously on record as not being a sci-fi junkie, so it doesn't really. I mean, I tried to watch it on the plane, and it wasn't really doing much for me.
That's good to know, because I know that you have some uncool interests, but sci-fi is kind of where I draw the line.
Yeah, I don't swim in those waters, brother. There's worms in there. It's a Dune joke.
Oh, you wouldn't get it. I wouldn't.
Or maybe you. Oh, she's getting it.
No, I don't get any. Who's in it? Timothy and Zendaya?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean,
what else do you need?
I've never seen him act.
Grand opening, grand closing.
I've never seen him act in anything except Call Me By Your Name. And I don't think I've seen her act in anything ever, to be completely honest. I've never seen Euphoria because I'm 41.
Even though Jacob's in it?
Oh, Jacob's getting caught up down under, bro. They're trying to find him right now.
What do you mean?
He apparently low-key assaulted a TikToker who got in his face when he was walking out of a hotel.
He's a wanted man.
He can't go anywhere in Sydney without... They'll put the fucking cuffs on him.
How does Jacob Elordi hide? It's like a fucking giraffe trying to hide. Take it from a person who can't hide.
You see,
I'm not famous.
You see the giraffe standing
behind. Him and I are the same height, except he's hot and really famous. I can't hide anywhere.
He's standing behind a tree, but his head's just poking out. Yeah, I don't know what I don't know the details. This was a breaking story, but yeah, he's
still developing.
Apparently, as you can imagine, as these TikTokers do, you know, he probably approached our king aggressively outside of a high-end hotel somewhere down under, asking him questions that he didn't want to answer. And maybe he did a classic slap the phone Kanye West move. Maybe he took the phone, or maybe he just, you know, he's Australian. He might have just punched the guy in the face.
What if he went Bjork mode and then hit him like a fucking, hit him like a roux with a left-handed uppercut? Get the fuck out of my business.
I hit his bloody chin right out of there.
Yeah, Bjork that cunt.
I bet it was more of like a kind of like a jostling that happened. I bet it wasn't super violent.
Sure.
Because of his fame and his riches, this TikToker is looking to kind of come up on something.
Sure. This is going to be the new version of kind of like a hit and run insurance scam where some guy jumps in front of a Subaru and starts screaming. We got to settle out of court type of thing.
You got to settle out of court.
We do need to sort of normalize. I don't know, because the paparazzi was the problem. It still is a problem, obviously. But now that anyone can be paparazzi, thanks to TikTok, we should be allowed one offense per year. We should get one. We were talking about the purge on the last episode. There should be one.
Everyone gets
one get out of jail free card, where if you're Jacob Elordi and you're trying to walk to go get a breakfast burrito in the morning and some guy's like, hey, can I take a tour of your apartment? How much do you pay for rent, Jacob Elordi? And then you should just be able to swing on him. You know what I mean?
You should be. And I don't want you to. I don't want.
You can like give him a 10 count. Just be like, all right. 5 seconds, you can get a running start, but at that point,
yeah,
I think I'm going to run behind you, I'm going to trip your leg, and I'm going to start peeing on you.
This goes with my thinking of normalized duffing. You know, this is along the same lines. A TikToker that comes up in your face, deserves to get jostled. At least the iPhone slapped. Maybe, you know, I mean, this guy could have been using a VHS camera for style. Who knows? But either way, we got to get these guys out of here. Can you imagine?
Deserves to be jostled.
They do, man. Can you imagine? Can you imagine doing, because it's all planned, right? Those house tours are planned.
Of course. Of course.
Okay. Okay.
I mean, I'm assuming, I mean, maybe at some point, do you think there's some people out there, like in the TikTok community, who are like the vinyl DJs of those videos? Like, they're so, they're like, we've been doing this for 18 months, okay? Not like these fly by night. I started doing this when it was an organic discovery, and I would get people to let me into their house, and they, it would be unplanned.
That wouldn't surprise
nowadays,
me.
It's bullshit.
That honestly wouldn't surprise me if there's some guys that are kicking it old school and don't want to play with that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's like death to false. How much money do you spend on rent?
How much? I mean, the guy who, I think the guy who would go up to people in cars and ask them what they did for a living when they had like $500,000 car, mm-hmm. I think something bad finally did happen to him.
Right.
I think somebody finally was like, nah, fuck you, and like knocked a couple teeth out or maybe ran over his foot with a Maserati.
They're like, hey guys, we're going to close the account down. This guy who's dating an OnlyFans girl who I asked about what they did for a living, he hurt me pretty bad, and his friends did too, and I just want to say I'm really sorry, and my mom said we have to close it down.
We have to shut down the account due to injury and threats on my parents' lives. I sent you guys this story earlier that I saw from Casey's after school newsletter, which is, you know, a constant source of inspiration for me.
Yeah, I get that, but since I'm on the free version, it's not really, it's more of just kind of a cock tease.
See,
than anything.
This is something I feel like I would have stumbled upon eventually, but thanks to her, it was teed up for me. And it's a comedian named Hope Woodward.
Okay.
Who's saying she's not celibate, she's boy sober.
Right. Korea World is a new cookbook written by Dookie Hong and friend of the show, Matt Rodbard, the New York Times best-selling authors of the book Koreatown.
Korea World is a vibrant exploration of the evolution of Korean cuisine, both in Korea and in Korea towns across the United States, with more than 75 bold, flavor-packed recipes and stunning photography.
The authors take an inside look at the exciting evolution of Korean food through stories of chefs, home cooks, as well as recipes that are shaping modern Korean cuisine.
The book begins in Seoul, where the barbecue scene is pushing into new territory and where the city's third wave coffee culture is exploding.
The tour continues with late-night food adventures in Los Angeles, my hometown, and stops into the kitchens of innovative chefs from New York City to Portland, who are putting modern spins on Korean classics.
Recipes include giant short ribs, whole fried smash rockfish, and pineapple kimchi fried rice.
I'm sad I didn't get to name the foods and you did. Korea World is essential reading for anyone curious about the future of food.
Available wherever books are sold.
This episode of How Long Gone is brought to you by Babbel. I fancy myself a trilinguist myself, but it usually only applies when I'm ordering food in restaurants. Mm. So, you know, I'm picking up Babbel so I can have some more conversational Spanish, Vietnamese, and other languages. I feel like everyone knows the food stuff, but, you know, take it an extra step in case you're in a situation when you're traveling, you're in the hills of Oaxaca, you don't have service for your little Google Translate shit. Learn it the old-fashioned way with Babbel.
Do the work. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. It's designed by real people for real conversations. Babbel's tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. Get 55% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/howlong. Get 55% off. That's more than half at babbel.com/howlong, spelled babbel.com/howlong. Rules and restrictions may apply.
That 50% off discount is great, as I am unfortunately fluent in broken knees.
One of her fans calls this the hottest mental health craze. The comedian Hope Woodward is spreading the word about her year-long break from sex and dating. You know, Jason, because she hates she hates the word celibacy. You know, I mean, that's just so archaic. And since she grew up in the church, it just feels mm-hmm. it feels antiquated.
Yeah. So this is, I mean, so this is all just, we were talking about rebranding on the last episode, I think, as well, where there's no difference between celibacy and being boy sober, right?
Not that
just the same way there's no difference between girl dinner and eating a plate full of crackers and a tin of cat food.
Yeah, that's what I'm taking. But Miss Woodward, of course, lives in Brooklyn, described herself as sex positive, and sometimes wears a button that says "I heart female orgasms" to prove it. Can you imagine having to talk to this person? This is insane. This is insane.
I heart female orgasms. That's worse than virginity rocks.
It is virginity
rocks. That makes my penis softer than virginity rocks.
It's crazy. It's insane. And Jason, of course, I want you to know that she intended for boy sober to be abstaining from romantic relationships with any gender. Just to be clear. I know it is gendered.
Oh. But
just something for you to kind of understand.
I don't understand, and I refuse that because it is literally incorrect and false.
It's so funny. They go to her comedy show, and it's like it's 100 people at the comedy show. And guess who's there, Jason? The audience is mostly women and non-binary people. Really? Really? You're oh, wow. You got to be fucking kidding me. Yeah, you're really? No fellas are in the building for this? That's crazy.
And let me take a wild swing in the dark. Are they a bunch of really hot people who fuck a lot, or is it kind of people who aren't fucking as much?
I gotta say, I'm looking at the picture of the crowd now. It's not as bad as I would have thought it would be.
Sure,
it's not as good as a How Long Gone show, of course, but it's not as bad as I'd want it to be. But I think that's just because Brooklyn has a high percentage of good-looking people, you know. I hate to admit that, it's true.
Yeah, I was gonna say that's big of you.
It's true.
I guess it is a sort of toxic world that we live in, and it is very hard to date boys and find guys who also heart female orgasm with who are also straight, who are also nice, who are also not a pussy.
Course,
you know,
of course.
There's a zip, but how healthy is it mentally and physically to literally abstain from physical relationships and displays of love and affection?
I don't think it's...
And also just simply getting that nut. Sounds like this... ironically, if this person really loved... If they really hearted female orgasm so much...
Yeah.
They would be too busy having them to write stories about...
Come up with terms.
Yeah, if this bitch was really getting that nut on, like Sexy Red style the whole time, you don't have all... She doesn't have time.
You don't have time
She's
to
taking naps.
Brand your movement. You don't have time to brand your movement and then speak to a reporter at the New York Times about it. That's true. If you're really nutting like that, you don't have time. But I mean, it's just insane that... And I know that we're part of the problem because we perpetuate this to an extent, but...
Sure.
Everything is a thing. Like, this is in the New York Times newspaper. Like, this is in the greatest newspaper in the world. A story about a 24-year-old Christian comedian from Tennessee who made up a fake term about not having sex.
Mm-hmm.
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable that this is something that we're talking about.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think this is all falls under the mental health umbrella that has become so bastardized that, like, therapy is now just a starter pack. You got to get really freaky for it to count.
Yeah, and I saw something similar along these lines. There was an article about, I think it was called, like, the hottest new bedtime for 20-somethings is 9 p.m. And, yeah, I just found it. Forget bar hopping or even having dinner out. More early professionals prefer turning in early.
Dude,
what's an early professional? Anyway, so, and then I saw somebody tweet this article, and it just says, like, everything about this is bad and unhealthy. I honestly can't stop thinking about this, and I think it's the realization that self-care, quote unquote, has become a cover for being totally antisocial and risk averse.
Yeah.
And this sort of feels along the same lines of, like, I am so risk averse, I'm going to find a way to make not taking risks, healthy and dope and bomb, and part of having sex and having boy and girl orgasms is taking risks. And sometimes you fail and sometimes you win, but if you never take any risks ever.
No, it's a strange approach. It's a strange approach to life. Also,
is this a life?
I go to bed at 9 o'clock, but that's because I have nothing else to do. You know, like, that's fine. I have nowhere to be. I have nothing to do. It's different for me. I have no social life after the sun goes down. But if you're 24, mm-hmm. you should be out late multiple nights per week, hopefully doing drugs and having intercourse with strangers, is what I would imagine.
Yes.
But it sounds like they're instead.
But that's too risky now, because one of these people could hurt your feelings.
Sure. Somebody. And of course.
You have to watch a young adult Netflix series for the next 3 weeks to get over it.
I got bed sores from watching a Netflix young adult series after John broke up with me.
Never Have I Ever with my fat aunt for the next 4 weeks to get over this.
Just to get
checks notes time where I had sex with a guy.
Just to get through it. But yeah, this is honestly
time when I had sex with a person and they ended up not marrying me.
Nothing pleases me more though than this, because it's unbelievable, because there's 5 of these every day. There's 5 of these fake trend stories about mm-hmm. a fake trend that, like, is the only reason it exists is because the newspaper chose to publish the story.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Like, they fan the flame. Otherwise, the flame would have dimmed and possibly gone out. We can extinguish this.
Yeah, they're...
New York Times, extinguish the flame.
The Times has gone from being a kingmaker to a maker of whatever this is.
I mean, honestly, it's unbelievable.
A cuck maker.
It's unbelievable. But I mean, I guess this is where we're at.
But Jason. thank God that the New York Times is doing this and creating these scenarios out of nowhere, or else you and I would have nothing to talk about when one of our guests cancels on the same day because their house floods.
That's what I was going to say. I was going to say this is a gift, but I also, you...
It's bittersweet.
I wanted to talk to you about last night, because I know that you went to the Grammy party, even though it was raining. You were able to brave it, and the Tesla kind of went into surfboard mode and made it all the way over there.
Well, I did not drive, first of all. Thank God.
First mistake. Okay.
What do you mean, first mistake? I was drinking.
Yeah, that I know that stops you.
No, honestly, all the streets were flooded, and it took a long time to get over there because every car had to drive super slow because everyone was hydroplaning all over the road, car accidents all over the place. Everyone was getting emergency, like the alert on your cell phone when there's an emergency.
Yeah.
It was a shelter in place scenario.
Is it actually as bad as people are saying, or are people exaggerating?
It's not necessarily what's it called, an atmospheric river.
Yeah.
It's not giving, it's more of a stream, but it's a steady stream.
Yes, yes.
The thing about this Pineapple Express storm front, it's very consistent rain. The rain will is not a sprinkle, but it's not a downpour, but it's just like a day, you know, like 2 days straight.
Yeah, it's
of nonstop. No, rain. I remember, so yeah, LA shuts down.
That's how the rain is sometimes there. It's like kind of insane. It just goes and goes and goes and goes. Okay, so but you made it,
girl. It goes.
You put your tie on and you braved it like a real man.
I put my tie on. I got an umbrella, and we got in the Lyft Black, which was just a Lexus hybrid sedan. For $87.
We got to ban the Lexus from Uber Black. I want to be very clear right now.
Bro,
that's got to stop.
That's nothing. There's on the Comfort Plus or whatever.
Yeah.
You can get a Kia,
nah.
A Kia Niro.
Nah. They Uber's
that's
got
like
us.
That's one of the cheapest cars you could buy.
Uber's got us fucked up. These fake luxury cars ain't fooling anybody. A Lexus feels plastic.
I'm not mad at a Lexus.
It's a Toyota. It's a Toyota. I'm not mad at a Lexus. A Lexus is a perfectly fine car. I'm mad when I'm lied to about the class of car and you're charging me a larger fee.
I would rather have the Lexus than the Lincoln. The weird hybrid Lincoln.
Yeah,
that happens in New York all the time. That's
actually, yeah. Those must be cheap.
When you get the priority service, you're like, bro, come on.
Those must be cheap or something. because there is a lot of those.
Well, no, I mean, every car, there's like Reddit forums, I'm sure, of all my Armenian homies here in Glendale, where like every subject thread is like, what's the cheapest car you can buy that's also uber black?
Yeah,
and
yeah,
everyone just buys that.
That's true. That's true. Okay, so you took the Lexus LX 4.5.
And then you get in the car and then you're like, oh, yeah, I've been hoodwinked. It was a hybrid LS 350, nice and smooth, but we had a driver that was chill and he was like, hey guys, I'm not like the others. I'm going to drive slow and safely. And thank God he did, because it was a little scary out there. It was giving.
You're a pussy, bro. I thought you had some hair on your chest, but you're celebrating an Uber driver telling you he's going to go slow because it's a little rainy.
I was. Well, I trust myself. I hate driving in the rain. It's my least favorite thing to do. Like, I straight up get anxious and scared. And you know me, I'm never scared behind the wheel.
No, you're Lewis Hamilton in the 300, bro. I see you out here.
Yeah,
zipping.
I really don't give a shit when it comes to swerving. And I was talking to my therapist about this, and she said that people like me.
I told my therapist I didn't give a shit. I'd be going crazy on the road, and she said
no. I did not say like, Doc, I'd be driving fast. What does it mean? It wasn't like that. It was more. She told me what personality type I am on the Enneagram scale based on our findings.
Uh-oh.
I know this is where Chris checks out.
And you're paying money for this? You're paying money for this. I just want to be clear.
Yeah. Well, I mean, BetterHelp gives me a discount because of me being a member of the team. But yeah, of course. I support all small business owners and all female therapy founders.
Female therapy founders. Got it. Okay. Got it.
I Venmo her and I'm like, boom. It's kind of like OnlyFans for the mental. Something to think about, right?
It is something to think about.
Anyway. But
regardless.
Yeah. So my therapist said that my personality type often holds in rage and anger and does not express it.
We all know. We all knew that. You didn't need a therapist to tell you that.
We all knew that, but one of the ways that the anger does come out is when you're on the road.
Oh.
Yeah.
So what does it say about me when I just am angry all the time, but it also comes out on the road?
I think that says that you're a different number on the Enneagram scale, where I guess that we're sort of a yin and yang as it pertains to issues of rage and anger, whereas you release it in an unhealthy way, and I unhealthily don't release it.
Uh-huh.
Either way, we get to the same place, which is
bad.
We're unhealthy.
Either way, we're just bad.
You do it one way and I do it the other.
Okay, well, that's good. Yin and yang. That's why this works. You know, that's why
I'm learning different ways, healthy ways to release it. So far, all I have is smoking, and we'll see what happens after that.
What about your supreme punching bag?
I've still thought about it. I don't know. I worry it's just going to be one of those things where it just ends up collecting dust. And I also worry about the sound. Like, I don't want to be the guy on the street where everyone's like, well, he's hitting the fucking speed bag again while I'm trying to watch Tucker and it's...
Don't worry. You can turn Tucker up real loud on X.com when his show comes on. And also, the heavy bag, I think you need the heavy. The Supreme is the heavy bag, and you're just going to be doing body shots. You know what I mean?
That's like where, you can't let out the rage with a speed bag. You're letting out the finesse. I need something where I can do some Joe Rogan leg kicks.
Speed bag is also much harder, I believe, and requires some sort of kind of skill level to keep it in the air. You know,
no, I could. I mean, it involves more coordination. I've hit the speed bag before. I mean, I'm obviously no pro. I'm not hitting it like Conor McGregor, but you know, I'll twerk that, toot that thing out a little bit.
Gratata, gratata, gratata.
How's the party?
Well, beforehand, I wanted to give a shout out to the steakhouse in Beverly Hills, Matu. My man Scott over there. He's a fan of the pod, and he was talking to me about the horses article and invited me in, and we went and had a amazing little dinner. It was amazing. It was an oasis type of situation. Having driven across town, you know, it took like an hour to get to Beverly Hills because of all the rain delays, and you know, getting out of the car, there's just like a river that Carolyn, her entire feet were just submerged in water, and it was you know, we had to like take all our clothes off, and they had to give us towels to, because we're wearing like full suits. So
they had robes for you over at Matu, is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
This episode of How Long Gone is brought to you by Booking.com. Booking.yeah. From cozy bed and breakfast to trendy boutique hotels, with so many choices across the beautiful United States of America, you can book whoever you want to be. That can look like booking a five-star hotel to indulge your luxury side, that's me, or booking a remote cabin in the woods to explore your adventurous side.
So spring has sprung, the sun is out, the sun is shining, I can't wait to get to New York. Check out Booking.com for your ideal hotel or vacation home, no matter where you go in the U.S.
Booking.yeah.
Book whoever you want to be on Booking.com. Booking.yeah.
This podcast is brought to you by Nutrafol. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist-recommended hair growth supplement, with over 1 million people seeing thicker, stronger, faster-growing hair with less shedding, like a dog. You know, you have a great head of hair, Jason. Can you speak on this?
Yeah, you hear this? That's my thick Nutrafol bottle shaking in there. You open up the lid, a little ASMR. It says, keep growing.
Mm-hmm.
It says that on the inside of the lid. Motivational. The pills look like a classic turmeric supplement. So it'll be familiar going down your mouth, but it doesn't have that sting of turmeric.
Mm.
What it does have is the sting of visibly thicker, healthier hair.
Let's go. Yeah. So if you have any hair thinning, shedding, or any other hair issues, Nutrafol has a proactive approach. And it has been known to improve hair growth, decrease shedding, add visible thickness. And it's a clinically effective formula. Take the first step to visibly thicker, healthier hair. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off the first month subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter the promo code HOWLONG. Find out why over 4,500 healthcare professionals and stylists recommend Nutrafol for healthier hair. Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, promo code HOWLONG. That's Nutrafol.com, promo code HOWLONG.
So it was nice to brave all of that, lie our lives on the line, and then to be greeted into a sexy, inviting dining room where the martinis are cold and the shrimp cocktails even colder. It was great, and we had some nice palm puree that was just
when
the next time you're in town, we'll go. They have a lot of
he told me actually
seafood options.
I talked to him and he's like I don't think you eat steak. I'm like, I don't. And he's like, we have several other options. Does he own other stuff? Is he like a restaurant guy?
I don't know what else, but I know. Okay. He does it. Yeah, but anyway, shout out to Scott, thanks for the meal. I would have posted photos on Instagram, but your dining room is simply too dark and sexy.
Oh, I love that. I love when it's too dark and sexy.
I didn't want to get my tripod out on a Sunday on music's biggest night. But yeah, so had a couple martinis, had a delicious meal, skipped dessert because I don't want to pop out of my dress, and then head over to Bal Maman, and just really started fucking turning up from there. At that point, walked in and immediately kicked it with I immediately see Orville Peck, but I actually immediately smelled him first because of all the leather.
Yeah.
It smelled like I was walking into a boot barn.
Okay.
Seeing his ass. Of course he smells of leather.
He said, okay. Well, I mean, I wonder if he's a leather top or bottom. That's a different show, but I'm glad that you remembered his name after I told it to you.
I think he's verse. He'll go side saddle on you.
He's verse. Yeehaw.
Yeah, we just kind of really start. We already had a good base, so of alcohol.
Quick question.
We actually had a lot of fun.
Quick question: what kind of drugs are we doing?
No drugs.
Wow, I'm so you were.
It was not a drug kind of vibe, because you know it was a Sunday night where if you walk outside.
Yeah. No. Sure. You know, sure. And we were.
You feel like you're in.
We were passed over for all the spoken word Grammys, so there's nothing much to celebrate. You know,
snubbed
what I mean?
Yet again. Not much to celebrate, but I ran into Jason Isbell, How Long Gone alumni, and he took home.
Yes,
took
sir.
Two home.
Oh, he did.
Yeah,
nice. Congratulations.
In the less publicized category of Americana.
You know, it's bullshit. They'll show Doja Cat 100 times, but we can't get a little Isbell on screen. I find that.
Go on, give me some Isbell.
Yeah, I don't know why I got to say it in Elvis voice.
Because just that name, because you see the name Isbell.
You can't say it like that.
And you're
that.
Like, as an American, I have to say it like this, but I know that down home.
No, look,
down in the Alabama shantytown, you got to say Isbel.
You think Nashville's America, but it's not. That's the thing. It's different. It's its own country.
It's not America. It's Americana. And I don't mean Din Tai Fung.
No.
Americana.
Oh, hell no. I don't know.
I was talking to him because I saw a photo of him from the GQ party. I ran into Sam and Will. Shout out to those guys. And shout out to everyone at W Magazine for inviting me to these parties I don't deserve to be in. Isbel pulled up with the YSL leather lunchbox, like kind of lunch sack. You know what I'm talking about? The bag.
Americana Grammy Award winner Jason Isbel pulled up to the party with the YSL purse.
I don't know if I would call it a purse though. It has the silhouette of like a kid taking a brown paper bag lunch, like a sack lunch.
Yeah. No, I'm.
But it's made out of a leather. I'm describing it to our audience, maybe.
I'm familiar with this.
So you kind of have to hold it like your McDonald's that you just picked up and filmed yourself buying.
What did he have in there?
I don't know what it was probably Jewel Pods. I don't know what was in there exactly, but I wasn't making fun of it, but I was just kind of like, oh, okay, you know, country boy got his little YSL. What do we call not a clutchette? A pouchette?
No, a pouchette. Yeah, he was like, "Yeah, bitch, I'm stunning on
and
you."
And he was he basically said, "Like, I grew up in a Alabama trailer park. I'm gonna have this shit on," kind of thing. Like, can't tell me nothing. Like, type fuck, shit. You know,
can't tell me nothing. I appreciate that. I appreciate that. I mean, last time we saw him, he was when we ran into him at that other party, and he was going back to his hotel because he was having dental surgery. He had the same kind of attitude.
I actually talked to him about that as well. Yeah, I was thinking earlier he should change his band name to Jason Isbel and his teeth. But I was like, yeah, the last time I saw you was when we're at the hotel and you were running in and we basically just screamed at you until you were forced to turn around and talk to us, kind of thing. Sorry in advance, kind of thing. And he's like, oh yeah, you think that was funny? I didn't even tell you guys what I was doing when you caught me running back into the hotel. And he mentioned, maybe this is off the record, you could tell me if it's good or not, but he went down to the bar to take a non-alcoholic shot and then head back up to the room.
Wow. I I'm interested in trying a non-alcoholic shot.
Give me two fingers of Gia.
I'm having a
hell of a night.
I can't have any seed lip or anything, but that's actually very interesting. That's very interesting. I didn't know.
It's cool.
Yeah, it is.
I think it's cool because I feel like it scratches the itch of like the psychosomatic physical routine.
That appeals to me more than like a beer because I wasn't a beer guy, but shots I did like. And if we could mimic that that iconic burn of German Jägermeister or maybe a kind of classic MJQ concourse redheaded slut, then
okay.
Kang, I'm bellying up.
You know, my vegan ass is going to be like, all right, Poa, let me get a double shot of apple cider vinegar.
Yeah, not sure. I'm gonna do apple cider vinegar and then lick my hand like it's tequila. But
do a lemon cayenne.
It's nutritional yeast.
Nutritional yeast on the rim of the glass.
Yeah, that's
this it. Is something. Yeah. We're going somewhere with this.
A non-alcoholic apple cider vinegar margarita with nutritional yeast around the rim of the
ooh,
glass.
Ooh, that's spicy. But I like it. Is it weird that I like that?
That sounds pretty good. Honestly, I'm wrapping my head around the flavor profiles, but I'm not.
I love that I'm like getting like shots, but I'm also like biohacking. Like that's so yes.
This is perfect. That's really funny. It's very cool for your response to anything to be like, I grew up in a trailer park, fuck you.
Yeah.
No one can say anything to that. No one can. That's you won. That's it.
Of course. Yeah. I mean, that's why man's a legend. Carolyn was and I ran into Eric Warheim as well, who was looking good. A lot of bros were there DJing, Mark Ronson, Alex Chapman.
Oh, yes.
I'm so glad they got a gay to DJ.
Oh, he was actually DJing.
Yeah, he was DJing. Ronson was DJing. Ross One was DJing. My friend Drew was DJing as well. It was kind of like There's like four or five different DJs, actually.
Oh, that's nice. That is fun.
It was basically everybody in LA who could have DJed was DJing, except for one person.
Did you not bring your sticks? Bro, I'm sure you could have edged your way up there.
Out of the way, Ronson. I know this is your party for you winning a Grammy, but I've got a couple Kodak Black songs I think are going to set the scene off.
How many Run DMC remixes can we hear before it's time for then Jeans to take the tables?
Unfortunately, it was a little... I was having multiple meta moments with the music. So, obviously, I'm chilling and I see... Maybe Ronson was playing, but he was playing Dua Lipa, her new single, and in walks Dua Lipa. And I was like, oh shit, Dua Lipa, Dua Lipa's playing, this is cool. And then not 5 minutes later, the DJ played the Murder on the Dance Floor, the song from Saltburn, as Barry's little ass is walking in into the dance floor while that song is playing. And he quickly ran away.
That little lesbian cut a rug to his own song?
He did not cut a rug. Nobody really cuts a rug when their song is playing.
I feel like Madonna would. I kind of feel like Dua Lipa would. Any rapper would.
Maybe if it's like you're there, you've been dancing for a while, you're drunk, you're feeling warmed up. But if you like walk in and they play your song, it's kind of like, yo, let me get a fucking drink first.
That's true. That's true.
But the DJ wasn't playing Dua because she walked in. It was just a serendipitous moment.
It's a hit song.
Because half the songs played were Dua Lipa songs. But it was actually Barry had he was just wearing the Stone Island jumper. It was kind of a cool look for him when everyone else was wearing, you know, suit and tie shit.
That is, I mean, he wears some funky stuff. So a Stone Island jumper is a win. Big W.
Yeah, it was nice to just see him dress, you know, like a normal lad for a moment. But Carolyn was very adamant about me linking and building with Dua Lipa.
Oh, that's a bad idea, but sure, go ahead.
That's a bad idea.
Not because Dua Lipa is going to want to have sex with you. Obviously, that's not the joke. The joke is that I think that DJ Them Jeans might finally, you know, stammer and stumble over his own words if presented with Dua. Is that safe to assume, or do you think you're slick?
I think you're sweet for saying the word finally as if it's never happened before. Thank you. But no, I mean, it was like, you know, what am I gonna do? What am I gonna say? I'm gonna walk up like, hey, yeah, Dua Lipa, yeah, like, I know you're making out with your 19-year-old boyfriend in the middle of a dance floor right now, but I just wanted to say I really like Electricity featuring Diplo.
I want to give a shout out to Dua Lipa, actually, because she's finally dating just a regular hot guy. And I think it's so great for her. His name is Callum Turner. I have no idea what he's in or what he does, but he's just a good-looking British guy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just what she needed. You know, she needed a regular straight-ahead actor. They're kissing for the cameras. They're hamming it up. It's nice.
Girl, I can't wait till I find my Callum.
So you're saying that you didn't stomp and stammer your way up and tell her how much you love her collaboration with DJ Diplo.
I did not find a clear opening to do that.
Okay.
Hey, what's up? Okay. I just want to say I have a bunch of your Instagram posts bookmarked but not liked. Love what you're doing. Anyway, just want to head out.
Oh God. It's so the idea of doing that is so funny because I bet shit like that happens to her constantly.
Yeah.
So the fact that you know and you're able to resist is a testament to your maturity, Jason, and your years and years of beasting in the underground of Hollywood.
Yeah. You show me a celeb, I've met him. I fucked them all too.
So was Will.i.am there or not?
Will.i.am was not there. Neither Killer Mike. I think he was arrested for...
What was he arrested for?
For being in Run the Jewels. I don't know.
I'm sorry. The charges here
say... He was arrested by the ear police for making that music.
Where's... Oh, I'm sorry, sir, but we can't really look the other way on corniness. We're going to have to take you in for this.
You can't look the other... My hands are tied, big fella.
Hands are tied. You know how my sergeant gets when it comes to corniness. He takes it seriously.
Sarge's been on my ass lately. I got to bring you in.
We have a zero tolerance.
No two ways around it.
We have a zero tolerance policy when it comes to corniness.
I don't know why. It is a little. It's kind of nice and rude to wait for them to win three Grammy Awards. You know, basically the highest moment of their life.
Yes.
What it's all been, you know, he's closer to 50 than 20. He's been rapping his entire life, hasn't really got any shine or recognition that he deserves. He begins beasting in the overground, not just the underground. Sweeps all the hip-hop Grammy Awards. Holy shit. And then, wouldn't you know it, they hit him with the cuffs.
Okay, so he was released, being arrested for misdemeanor battery. So look, at least it's not domestic. He probably did some Jacob Elordi shit, and they let him out.
Misdemeanor, you know, battery.
Yeah, misdemeanor battery is light work. That's a lesser charge than corniness in the How Long Gone court of law.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's just like pushing someone.
It is interesting because he's like always been. I just don't understand the appeal. Like, it's so rappity rap that, like, I don't know who actually listens to it, but at the same time, that is exactly what the Grammys will reward, because they don't really understand real hip-hop, like actual good hip-hop. You know what I mean?
Of course. Yeah, I saw somebody posting about the metal category and how funny the Grammy metal category is.
Well, Metallica just wins every year.
Yeah.
Every year.
A song that no one's ever heard before, but like no new metal songs have won. It's always just like a Black Sabbath reissue Rhino Records. 100%. And that wins.
No, 100%. That's always what it
is. Or Metallica writes a song that no one's ever heard before, and they're like, they've done it again, boys.
How do they do it every single fucking year? All right, well, I'm glad
Killer... Break them off with the hardware.
Killer Mike wasn't there, so Ross One didn't have to break into a Dungeon Family set that the world wasn't prepared for.
Yeah, but the party was good. I would definitely woke up feeling hungover as. I'm glad that we're doing a pod today, though, because if we did this tomorrow, I would have already forgotten all of it.
Yeah, that's. I had a feeling. I kind of got to get you while it's still fresh, you know.
Oh, we're fresh, honey. Yeah, it was honestly a great party, and I was talking about this last night with a couple people about how the severe rain actually ended up making it a better party. And this is a thing that I forgot about, but it was a big part of, like, back in the CineSpace days, it was a thing that would happen all the time, and I noticed. But like the last time we went to a party at the Chateau, the GQ Man of the Year thing, you know, it's a shit show. You can't walk anywhere.
It's pumping.
It's slammed. It's cool party full of the hottest celebs in the world, but it's uncomfortably packed, and you can't, you know, there's 11 people waiting in line for the bathroom, and they're all more famous than you, and it's a high wire act trying to get through this crowd. It's uncomfortable. But when it's raining, everyone there, you know, there's less people, 20% less people, 30% less people. So it's more comfortable. And the people that are there, all the people that are there, the few, the proud, they really make the party worth it. They're like, I went out.
Yeah, yeah.
I put my clothes on. I got a sitter. I got, you know, despite everything keeping me home, I wanted to go out so bad that I'm here in the rain like an idiot. And those people end up turning up as if it's New Year's Eve. Some of the best nights that we threw at CineSpace, there'd be like 68 people there. But it was like the most fun party.
I remember the night when it was raining cats and dogs, and Kanye came with shutter shades on and went back to back with Aoki. How could you forget? I mean, you know, it's
Kanye. It's usually busier than this. You came on a bad night, Kanye.
Your life is a fucking movie, them jeans. Yeah. Let me just say that real quick. I mean, I'm over here.
You fucked up.
I fucked up. I mean, it's okay. I'm not. It was a beautiful sunny day here in Stockholm. It was quite nice, actually. So I'm the weather has been good to me on this trip.
It's so great, man. I'm loving that for us, for both of us.
All I need is a little sunshine, you know what I mean? That's all I need.
I don't have that.
I didn't tell you. Okay, so I witnessed something and I had to say something if you see something, say something.
Mm-hmm.
And I was waiting in the lobby for Barclay to come meet me at the hotel so we could walk to lunch. And a guy was in like all black and like some white leather sneakers like every other fucking bozo, mm-hmm. was at the desk, at the front desk of the hotel, and he was, I didn't catch it at first, but then I realized that he had been up all night, and it was 11:50 a.m. It was 11:50 a.m., so it was nearing noon. He'd been up all night, and he was kind of in an argument with himself, but also involving the front desk lady about his phone.
Well, quick question. How did you know that this person had been up all night? What were the signs?
Because he also was trying to get them to serve him a beer. He was stumbling a little bit and incoherent and not making much sense, and then also asking for a beer.
Okay.
Which at, you know, Sunday morning beer, even, I know we're in Scandinavia, I know we're in Europe, mm-hmm. but you know, that's even extreme for here. So he
got it together, man.
He leaves, and I went up to her and I was like, "Hey, I just want to say that was beautiful to watch. Like, you're a real professional, you know." And I think she was very happy.
She's like, "Yeah, thanks for helping me out there."
No. I can't intervene with that. That could have turned violent. You know how men get. Mm-hmm. But I had to tell her I was impressed, and you forget that is such, like, stuff like that probably happens every single fucking day you do a job like that.
The front desk of, I mean, like, when we were in San Francisco at our hotel, every front desk person, you know, it's just like a kind of chubby gay Filipino guy who has a wonderful attitude. Yeah. And I was like, I feel bad. Like, 11 times a day, this sweetheart guy has to, like, physically, you know, call the police because a guy with a machete is trying to come in and order a beer.
Remember, well, so when we were checking into the hotel in San Francisco, remember that guy walked in and he heard us talking about where to get a coffee, and he went to the bathroom, he came out, and he tells us where the local coffee shop is, and then he leaves, and Jason, you ask the front, you're like, wait a second, did that guy just park his car idling in front of the hotel, come in here and use the bathroom? And the chubby Filipino gay guy was like, yep, he does that every day.
The lesson learned is if you're a man who's, you know, over 50 and you are driving a nice enough car, you can just double park in front of a hotel, get out, hazards on, go take a shit in the hotel lobby bathroom, you know, newspaper under the arm, give a tip of the hat to the person at the front desk, and go on with your day. See you tomorrow, chief.
It was mind blowing because we were both like, damn, I guess, like, yeah, what are you going to do? Like, that guy doesn't actually care. He doesn't want to have some altercation mm-hmm. with this guy. So he's just like, yeah, fuck it. This guy's friendly. I'll just let him do this. I respect it.
I do too. Yo, I forgot what I was going to say. That was so funny, though. These poor people.
That was really funny. It really made me laugh.
Yeah, so this Thursday, February 8th, American time.
Yeah, yeah.
We're going to put our merch up. We got some hoodies, t-shirts, keychains, and Nalgene.
God, the keychain is...
Which is good.
The keychain, I just...
My Nalgene broke.
That's funny that you use Nalgene. I would never. The keychain is... the piece de resistance. People ask me about it all the time still.
Oh, really? That's nice. That
I'll be finally ending Euro trip. So you think it's going to be a tough come down for me?
I don't think so. I think as long as the weather's good, you're going to be fine, man.
Okay, good.
I'm bummed because I wanted to go outside and do my iron neck workouts, but my neck rig is soaking wet right now. And my backyard's patio tile gets very slippery in the rain.
Yeah, you have to be careful. Yeah, your neck and slippery is a diabolical combo.
I also wanted to unfortunately inform you that Smartless had the Killers on their podcast today, and of course it was a very boring interview. I couldn't finish it.
I saw this thanks to you. And I did.
Look, Brandon Flowers, come on, bro.
It's crazy.
You want to have a good podcast?
It's crazy that Ronnie and B Flow chose to do. And, you know, this is something I discussed. And
they chose to do the most popular podcast in America instead of ours.
So crazy.
That's weird, but it's so, okay.
It's so crazy they chose to do a popular podcast with famous hosts instead of How Long Gone. But, you know, whatever.
It's true.
But I did. I don't know if I told you, but I secured two tickets for the residency in Vegas at the Hot Fuss residency at Caesars for August. Thank you to our family over at the Oriole for setting that up for me. And I think that's a consolation prize for them not coming on the show, but that's okay. You know, it'll happen eventually.
Yeah, at this point, I'm probably just going to wait for them to reach out to us.
That might be, I mean,
you know what I mean, instead of the other way around.
It might be better off. It might be better off. But I mean, I won't listen to Smartless because I never have, but thank you for ruining my day with that. It was sweet of you.
Yeah, no problem, man. I'm sure the gay guy from Will and Grace loves the Killers.
So like, Mr. Brightside, what is that about?
I bet you he's never even heard Mr. Brightside. That's how culturally unaware.
He does seem like that, but maybe he's cool.
Will Arnett is the only cool one. I know Will. I still know that Will listens to this. Will, come on. Come on.
I still don't believe you. I think you have no real intel, but you've decided that it's true in your own mind.
When has my gut been wrong, Chris?
Often. All the time. All the time.
Most times.
I didn't know you were a gut guy. I didn't know that's kind of what we went on. I thought we were more, I thought we were a different approach based on your personality type. Well,
I mean, you heard me mention apple cider vinegar.
That's a good point. You're focused on your gut health.
Call me Bragg.
That's true.
The way I trust my gut.
Oh, that's so stupid.
Hey, I was listening to friend of the show PJ Vogt, his podcast search engine. He had Molly Ringwald on, and it was like about navigating fame and stuff like that. She was telling this story about her when she was like a kid, or she was in a film and working with like this acting coach or a director. I forgot who it was. Maybe it was a director. And the director was sort of trying to get her to say, you know, just warm up and be natural and comfortable and not so, like, you know, not so scripted.
Yeah.
And, you know, being yourself, you know, get out of your own head kind of thing. And she said this exercise that he would do, which was like really fucked up, but it actually worked, was, and it's sort of something that I feel like I related to when I heard it, what we do on the, or what I try to do on the podcast. But the director would ask questions. And if he was not pleased with the answer or thought she could have done a better job, he would throw quarters at her. just like whip a quarter at her.
Damn.
If the answer was bad.
That is a good idea.
And she was like, it was fucked up, but it truly worked. Like, you need something with that level of force to like, oh shit, I have to do a better job at answering this question. And stuff like that can't happen anymore.
No, definitely not. Someone would get, yeah, you imagine the cast of Riverdale getting that done. What would happen to that fucking director? He'd be buried under the jail. They'd get rid of him. He'd disappear. Disappear with these snowflakes. I need to listen to that. Molly Ringwald, what's she in? Is she in the Truman Capote show? Because she did Blackbird Spy Plane too. So there must be something coming out.
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
I think so. Which,
I've heard, is,
have you watched it?
I've heard it's a bomb, but it does sound up my street.
Yeah,
but
it's probably a bomb. I heard them talking about it on friend of the show, Nomi Fry's podcast, The New Yorker, Critics at Large. And I was wondering, like, are you guys talking about this show because your boss made you? Kind of thing.
I mean, it's a pretty,
not in a payola kind of way, but
no, it's a pretty big, I mean, it's gotten a lot of press. Like, people have been talking about it a lot. I mean, it's an interesting,
got a lot of press.
It's an interesting story, and it's also true. So, you know, it's
an, like, interesting story. It's true. And the cast of it is quite impressive.
Yeah. Blockbuster.
Carolyn and I tried to watch it. It has tone issues. First and foremost,
I did watch the We Are the World doc, and I did like it. I mean, I think it kind of,
Kenny,
like,
Rogers, come on, How Long Gone challenge.
No, Kenny Loggins.
Kenny Loggins,
both.
Come on, How Long Gone.
But the
challenge.
But the best part was, the best part really is when Stevie Wonder tells them they got to sing in Swahili, and Waylon Jennings is just like, nah, good old boys don't do that, and walks out. He's not part of it.
I am far too racist for this.
Yeah, it's insane. It was so insane. But also, the biggest takeaway was how uncomfortable Bob Dylan looked the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he looked like he was gonna die. Like, it was, I
don't
so want to
do this, guys.
It was so clear how uncomfortable he was. And I just, like, it's crazy to see a superstar like that where everybody else is just like high on coke and chilling.
Mm-hmm.
Like Huey Lewis is having Budweiser in a can, having the time of his life.
Yeah, every other artist and singer, they're being interviewed for B-roll and they're like, that's Bob fucking Dylan, man. Are you kidding me? And then they go to Bob Dylan like in the office and he's like, oh, this is bad. I hate this. I should not have done this.
It was really funny how nervous he looked. It was really funny. You don't think about guys like that getting nervous. And then a guy like Huey Lewis being like, yeah, I had to sing right after Michael Jackson. It's fucking crazy. Was his response.
Luckily, I nailed it.
Yeah, luckily I fucking killed it. And Cyndi Lauper came in and really, really took it home.
Fucking, that's it.
All right, that's it, bro. How long gone?
How long gone? Thank you guys for listening. Thank you for having a great Grammys week. Thursday the 8th, we got motherfucking merch. I can't wait to get my Nalgene because mine is rode hard and hung up wet. It's as tough as old boots, as Paul Hollywood would say. And also, lastly, if anyone who works at Netflix for the David Chang live cooking show, I should be a guest on that show.
What do you mean? You want to go watch, or you're saying you think you should be on screen with him?
It's him cooking for two famous friends or guests.
Oh, so it's like Multomar. It's like the original Batali show.
Good, Chris. I'm proud of you for knowing the exact correct reference for that.
And that's on purpose.
Yeah.
Okay. Great concept.
Yeah, it's a great concept. He's getting probably bigger guests than Molto Mario. Molto Mario would get some big names every once in a while, but oftentimes it was kind of early. Early days of Food Network. They didn't have a big dick to swing around, but he cooks for two people, and then they all talk and enjoy it and have fun and tell stories, but it's all live.
Oh, that's
it's truly live.
Even though he's insufferable, is it good?
Well, that's why the guests are so important, because he is not good at talking live. And it's also very hard to like cook five different dishes and have like 10 pots on the flame.
Yeah, no, that's very
while managing
hard.
A conversation yeah. while explaining what's going on. So there's no way in hell he's going to be able to do it. It's like some Jamie Oliver type shit. You got to be like
pro
20 years in the game, like Guy Fieri level to pull this off. So obviously Chang is bad at it. But that's kind of what's endearing about it. It's like everything, he like fucks up everything and every dish gets burnt and ruined. And
is it super?
So that part is real, but the guests are dependent.
Is the food like high concept, or is it like spaghetti? You know what I mean? Is it like a pomodoro?
It's a little bit of both.
Okay.
A little bit of both.
Okay. Interesting. No, I've never seen this. It doesn't come up in my algo.
That's not a big surprise.
But it's
on Netflix. It's once a week on a Tuesday. It's like 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m.
Oh, you can't. Oh, I see. You can't watch it after it.
No, you can. You can watch it after. Okay, you can watch it after. But they do it live, just like SNL. You can watch it after. But I think the fact that it is live is what makes it sort of exciting, because
yeah, that's cool.
It's such a novel thing that we don't like. When I'm, on the road and I turn the TV on in the hotel and local news comes on, I'm like, oh, live television happening live. This is fucking crazy. Because we're just so not used to it as streamers, but it sort of is exciting to be to go back to that time when you would watch TV while you have dinner or something like that, and it was always live. You would watch the news, or
you watch Jeopardy or a sporting thing
or whatever.
Yeah.
So that kind of nostalgic hit, I think, is going to come back, and it's exciting to think that maybe in the not so distant future, there's going to be a lot of live things happening on Netflix, which is so weird and it makes no sense, but it'll be cool if every Monday, every day of the week had a different live show that you could watch during dinner time.
It does make sense though, because it's just the way we've re-engineered blogs with like, Substacks. Sure. It's the same shit. We're just going to go back to it, but it's going to feel different a little bit.
The bundle implodes on itself and then turns back into a butterfly.
Damn, poetic, TJ. Thank you for listening. HowLongGone.com. We'll see you later this week with more podcasting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks, guys. See you later. Thanks, guys.